This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation. Talk back on the evening edition, only on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zaid.
Good evening, I'm Caroline O.
And of course, we've been joined by our producer, Calvin Yee, on hopefully what's going to be an exciting evening of Talk Back. Now, of course, to participate in this conversation, you can call us at 03-77-109-000, text us via SMS at 016-201-9000, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we're asking you whether you're concerned about your child's diet. Now, it was reported in The Star yesterday that children are being exposed to junk food right outside their schools. You've got street vendors who aren't actually allowed to trade outside schools. They sell these bright, artificially colored candies, sugary drinks. Oh, sorry, this is just giving me nostalgia about the good old days. But they're, of course, unaware of how unhealthy these tidbits are. But we adults, parents and alike, know exactly why it's called junk food.
And like you mentioned, this isn't new, of course. Street vendors outside of schools is a scenario that goes back decades, right? We've all had our fill of unhealthy yet delicious snacks from these vendors. And for the most part, the authorities seem to be limited in what they can do.
Because they enjoy a paddle pop every now and then outside the school grounds.
But you know what? Just to make it clear, under the local council guidelines, street vendors are actually not allowed to trade outside schools. So the legislation that's required is sort of in place already. But according to this report yesterday, safety and hygiene standards are questionable. There was one trader that was interviewed. He admitted that he used tap water to make ice cream bouton.
Oh, no.
Because he felt that it was good enough. And, they asked him whether or not he gets into trouble with the authorities. He said, it's like a game of cat and mouse. You know, traders just pack up and they move on when authorities approach them and reopen for business after they leave.
So they know they're doing something illegal, at least. Mm. School principals weighed in as well. They have been admitting that they have no control over what children eat outside of the school compound. They also can't take any action against these illegal street vendors because it's beyond school compounds. So even worse, some principals make conscious effort not to engage with street vendors for fear that some of them could be thugs.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we think about this particular situation where the parents are concerned. Do you think it's okay to let your child indulge in a couple of these treats every now and then? Malaysia already is the fattest nation in the region. So on Talk About Thursday, we're asking, does your child's diet concern you? Do you remember what you ate when you left school? Our lines are open and the number once again is 03-77-109-000. You can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you whether you are concerned about your child's diet. All that junk food, is it good or is it bad? Pretty sure it's bad. But what are you guys doing about it? Call us at 03-77-109-000. We've got some music for you by the Monkees. I'm a Believer. BFM 89.9.
Time for the four T's. Tweet, text, talk, talk back on BFM 89.9.
It's Thursday, therefore it's Talk Back. Caroline, Kelvin and Ezra. The number to call is 03-77-109-000. We're asking you, what are you doing about your kid's diet of junk food? Responding to this report in The Star about how kids are being exposed to junk food, not just in their homes, but right outside their schools. You've got these street vendors who, you know, I think since time immemorial, at least since I went to school as a kid, they were all across the school.
They were there, they were cheap, they were delicious, and we all indulged.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, isn't it? And I don't know whether it's fair to say we don't care about it. And the only reason I'm putting that forth is because they've been there forever. And you do wonder, if it is such a problem for Malaysians, wouldn't we have done something about it by now?
Mm. Or is it just a phase?
I think we've had just numerous calls, but they seem to happen and die down as if, let's say, someone has food poisoning from canteen food, right? So, I don't know, if it's been happening for now decades, I don't know if it's going to be solved anytime soon.
Yeah, and that seems to be very much the Malaysian way of doing it. You have the outcry, you have authorities come down, enforcement officers saying, get it away, go away, and they come right back.
Very good impression of, I guess that would be the state council. Is that who you were trying to impersonate?
I don't know.
It's pretty good.
A jaded way of looking at it, but you do have to wonder, right? If it's something that is so important, why hasn't something been done? Now, very quickly, there was a message that came in saying that schools should inculcate healthy diets in their canteens first before they look outside. Ah. Teachers play a big part also in bringing awareness. Now, when we talked about this, when this story first came out a couple of days ago, it did say, you know, these vendors are located right outside school. And that, to me, seems to be where the gap is. So schools don't want to take responsibility because, you know, the children have essentially left school. Parents have not yet arrived, or perhaps it's that gap where the school, you know, they're waiting for the school bus occurs. And so then, you know, whose jurisdiction is that? And it's easy to point the finger, I suppose, at the schools because it's still relatively within that jurisdiction.
0377109000 is the number to call. We're asking you whether you're concerned about your child's diet. What are you doing to change their diet of junk food? You know, it reminds me about how I think maybe towards sometime in the middle of secondary school, and of course these, you know, street vendors and these, the ice cream man is there, the roti man is there, and I remember trying to do a little kind gesture to buy an ice cream for one of my teachers because he was going out as well. But
was that a nice gesture?
I might have flunked in chemistry, but the point is that I remember him refusing it, and I go, oh, that's a bit impolite. But I think that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
But I think the point was that the teacher didn't want to encourage that kind of behavior, right? Because it was that exact issue about jurisdiction, about whether these street vendors, are they somebody that you want to engage out of school grounds, and what sort of ramifications can come to that? Because, you know, this report talks about how there have been some sort of fights happening outside these schools about, you know, them being ushered away from their school grounds.
Yeah, and in which case the problem is much larger than unhealthy food. At Brastel tweeted in saying, of course I care about healthy eating, just not my health. I care about the health of my wallet as well. Healthy food is expensive. Now, you know, the Jamie Oliver situation, we all saw that very famously. He went into schools
in
the UK and tried to improve the diets, tried to come up with better school fare in the canteens. And he found it, I think, quite difficult to do it within a specific budget. So what Brastel is saying is something that you can relate to. You want to eat healthy food. Have you walked down the organic aisle in any time? You know that things there are far more expensive.
Call us at 0377109000. That's the number to call. We want to hear from you as to whether you know whether your kids are, you know, eating junk food. Are you doing anything about it? Tell us whether you actually would indulge in your kid having a couple of treats now and then. Calvin, have you seen that documentary about Jamie Oliver, about how he goes into these schools?
I've only seen a specific clip where he shows the kids what the nuggets are made of. Is that the same one?
Yeah, that's the same one. So it's an amazing documentary. I think it's a multiple part series that he gets with one of the networks, but basically he goes into these schools and he has a look at what the kids are eating, what they're having for just a little after breakfast, what they're having for lunch, and what they're having for tea. And it's all fried stuff. There's barely any vegetables, and he's concerned about the nutrition of it. And what is also quite compelling about the show is you're looking at the cost of the school in, I guess, deciding to buy these items that are quick and instant versus actually cooking fresh spaghetti and fresh pasta with tomato sauce and all that kind of stuff. And he makes this huge case to the relevant authorities and the ministers about this particular situation, because it completely affects the kids' behavior at home and at school, that if they eat healthier stuff, that they actually perform better as well.
They pay better attention.
And they probably have a lot more energy, right?
Yeah.
So I think another thing to look at is also the food within the school canteens, right? So the sale of junk food in school canteens itself, not outside schools, is an old issue, right? So we have this story from 2010. So they tried talking to the vendors and saying, school canteen operators, and say, hey, why don't you serve healthy food? So what they found was that they would throw all these unhealthy food away. So one operator pointed out, no fried chicken, no business. And
it's our favorite. Fried chicken is Malaysian's favorite.
So many children also dislike eating health-giving vegetables. So that's why they just throw it away. It's quite a difficult challenge if you don't know how to serve it right. So I think the mentality behind it is that healthy eating means the food is not tasty.
Well, there is a little bit of that. You know, it equals bland, I suppose.
Yeah.
Certainly in my mind, although it's not necessarily true. But you know, these canteen operators, they do have a little bit of a task, isn't it? It's not as easy as one would imagine.
It's not easy at all. The Bigger Picture team, they interviewed William Hui some time ago about removing junk food from schools. And he's the president of the Association of School Canteen Operators of Malaysia, otherwise known as ASCOM. Here's a part of Mira Sivasodhi's conversation with him about the canteen operating business and how high the costs are in running these canteens is related to the quality of food they serve.
Not an easy business.
Because it's only 192 days business, the rest are holiday. Mm-hmm. And then they have to pay electric, they have to pay water, they have to pay license, and then they have to pay kemudian kewangan. That is the biggest. When I make a complaint to Deputy Finance Minister about this license, I say this 500 should be waived off. A lot of operators don't know how to fill the form, this and that. They get third party and they pay $1,000 for that. School canteen should waive off the rental. So the canteen operators are hardworking operators. They work morning to evening. Last time, canteen can survive. Uh-huh.
When you ran the canteen?
When I ran the canteen, yeah. I run in PJs, the canteen rental also cheap, and then the electric, water, some school pay by the school. But most of the school, electric had to pay, this had to pay, so many bills had to pay.
Which is now.
Those days I can get workers $6, $8 a day. Now, 30, 40, 50. Okay. So that's why when I see a small canteen, the 300 enrollment, so they got 8 workers, you know. So I count them, your operation costs one day nearly $600. How much your business do? $400. Then you're a rookie, you know? So this canteen operator invests a lot of money and then they can't get back. So they are worried. So sometimes they see snack food cannot sell, this cannot sell, school sell, outside sell. So they are waiting for bankrupt. So he got no choice. He also sell under the table. And then who are the victims? Our children.
That was William Hui. He's the president of the Association of School Canteen Operators of Malaysia. He was speaking to Mira Sivasodhi. Yeah, very interesting insight about, I guess, maybe some of the constraints and restrictions that he has to deal with, or he and other school canteen operators.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, you know, how many parents actually know what their kids eat in school. I can tell you, my parents had absolutely no idea. I had pocket money, and I would just spend it on the tastiest, but most unhealthy option that I could find.
Yeah.
When did they serve in your school?
Oh, I had the packet nasi lemak, and in my time, it was 30 cents each, believe it or not. They had all the curry puffs, they had all the ice creams, lots of sweets, 10 cents for three, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I had the same thing as well. We did eventually have this one guy selling chicken chop, but I wasn't sure if that meat that they were serving was actually chicken.
Oh, that's funny. Because
mystery meat.
I was going to say the same thing because every so often we would get chichong fun and be like, I don't know what exactly is in this. But
why?
Yeah.
Why that doubt though?
I don't know. Just the way the texture landed in your mouth, I guess. But folks, if you want to chime in, you know, we want to know whether you know what your kids are eating at school. Are you doing anything about your kids? Are you observing them? Are you watching whether they're eating junk food? 03-77-109-000 is the number to call. You can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You know, I'm trying to think about some of the vendors that I used to frequent outside my school. And, you know, the Roti Man used to have ample variety of mommy snacks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best stuff.
I think I also remember the ice cream sandwich.
Goodness. We're closing in on dinner time.
I thought we were supposed to be opposing. Guys, don't eat junk food.
But
while we share these favorite moments, Kelvin, what's yours?
So I remember there was a 7-Eleven in my school, and my favorite would be, of course, the Super Ring. The yellow...
The what?
The orange junk food.
Like a fishbowl kind of thing?
No, it wasn't a fishbowl. It was in the shape of a ring, but then it would leave like
cheezles.
Coloring.
You mean cheezels?
In a way. Oh. Should just check it out. It's really unhealthy.
But delicious.
So just buy a small pack. Yeah, okay. It's kind of nice.
And it was always that thing about, you know, your parents would notice once you have these sort of snacks, right? Because especially if you have them after school, and it's just, you know, a couple of hours just before and after dinner time, and it does, you know, you don't know it when you're a kid, but it ruins your dinner. It ruins, you're filled up in your tummy with all of these sort of, you know, artificial coloring, all of these non-organic items in your belly. Yeah, it's not good, but it tastes delicious.
But, you know, then again, they don't quite know also because they don't see you eating it. You kind of just eat it, and then even before they arrive to pick you up, or especially it's different if you sit like Auntie Van or Uncle Van home, then yeah, they won't really know what you're eating.
Toro, that's the one I like. Do you guys remember Toro?
Is it the one with the toy?
Yeah, with the toy.
Ding dong
is pretty good as well.
A message that just came in saying, this is a perpetual Malaysian problem. You have all the rules you need and you talk about how important they are, but people ignore the rules and nobody enforces them. If people aren't prepared to start enforcing the existing rules, then there's no point in moaning and moaning and moaning because it has no effect. Also, most Malaysian food seems to be junk food. If you want to fix school canteens, start by addressing the problems in society at large. Stop the subsidies on sugar and flour and cooking oil and cheap chicken.
03-771-09000 is the number to call. We have our first call of the day. It's Mrs. Ampi. Hi there.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Mrs. Ampi, are you
Ezra?
Yes.
Hi, Ezra.
Hi, Mrs. Ampi.
Hi.
Are you approving of kids eating junk food? What are your thoughts on this?
No, I never did. And when the children were in school, I got myself into the PIBG. Mm-hmm. And we used to get our parents to go and check out the food the kids were eating on a regular basis. And we did that once a month.
How did that work out? And did that change the menu, I suppose?
Definitely. Because the guys who were selling the food knew that we were coming to taste it. And we were coming to eat it. So we actually got them to improve the food, and we said fish, whatever the potato chips. I mean, the kids were eating potato chips. My son is a vegetarian, mm-hmm, and he was eating potato chips. Mm-hmm. And so we went and saw that things were done, and our headmistress, she was a headmistress, and she was really very good. She said that was a good idea. We could control the what the food was being served in the schools, and it did, because the parents actually took the trouble to come.
What about the dynamics between the canteen operator and the rest of it? Because we heard from one a little earlier, and he was talking about how difficult it was to balance healthy eating and the costs that are involved. So yes, say if parents come on board, is it still difficult for these canteen operators to go along with this?
No, why should it be difficult? I mean, food is still not that expensive. And of course, there is a control. I mean, they do control the cost of the food in the canteens. But then what are they giving the children? I mean, if they're giving them nasi lemak, should the nasi lemak have a whole lot of oil in it? Then if oil is expensive, why don't they cut the oil?
Yeah.
The bottom line is,
what do they do? What are they doing with the quality of the food? And you could just give them a balanced diet. I mean, you know, even if it is bread, they could have bread. You don't have to have a slab of butter, a little bit of butter. And, you know, it's just a little bit more care.
Yeah.
That's it.
I
think the teachers and the headmistress, if they take a little bit of care, I think it could be done.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Ampi, for that.
A more thought, I suppose. And she's absolutely right. It feels as though there's no... Because if you think about it, all of us have the same things in our canteens.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more or less a formula that they cut and paste across canteens, across the nation.
That's the problem, isn't it? It feels like a slab of butter is just a little bit better than a little bit of butter.
It's always better than a little bit of butter.
Move on to our next caller. Anis is on the line. Anis, what do you think about, you know, a child's eating habits and where they get it from?
Hi. I think it starts very young. Like, okay, for example, my daughter, she's only one. She goes to school. But, you know, there are parties in school and they get party packs. And I can tell you, every time when she brings home something, I cringe at the content. There's junk food every time. So, you know, it starts at a very young age. And if it's okay for them from, let's say, maybe the youngest is 3. Mm. If they're eating this kind of food from their 3, and, you know, we keep giving it to them, we ourselves are not setting a good example for them, I think.
All right. Thank you very much for your comment, Anis. Folks, the number to call and chime in on the conversation is to whether you know what your kids are eating at school and what are you doing about their diet of just junk food. 03-771-09000 is the number to call. You can text us at 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
An interesting one that just came in saying, I left school 20 years ago, but I'm still snacking on junk in the office. And I suppose this sort of thing is interesting to me because it's habit building, isn't it? If you used to do it as a child, there's a high likelihood that you will continue doing it in adulthood. And certainly that's what he's doing.
Yeah. 03-771-09000 is the number to call. You can text us at 016-201-9000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. It's Talk Back Thursday right here on BFM 89.9.
Hey, you. Yes, you. You in the car. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. It's time for Talk Back. So, hands-free car kits at the ready? Yes? Good. Let's talk back on BFM 89.9.
It's Talk Back with Caroline, Kelvin, and Ezra, and we're asking you, do you know what your kids are eating at school, and what are you doing about your kids if they're eating junk food? The number to call is 03-771-09000. Text us via SMS at 016-201-9000, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Our next caller is Victor. Hi, Victor.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, Victor. Did you eat healthily in school?
Not really, but I think this eating unhealthy food is part of growing up.
Yeah.
And we have to make a distinction between this unhealthy food and harmful food, I suppose.
Unhealthy food and harmful food. Okay, go on.
So I think, what is it? Has this become a problem yet? So if it hasn't, if it's not broken, why do we need to fix it?
We don't want to fix it until it gets broken, because I think there are a lot of kids that don't get out of that habit. It's not just a short phase during their teenage years.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. So in that case, who is responsible to look after the most vulnerable? These are members of our society. Is it the education department, or the health department, or is it the school, the teachers, or PIGB, or the kids themselves? When everybody is responsible, I think nobody is responsible.
Okay, Victor, do you monitor your kids and what they have at school? You have kids?
No, not really.
Right, so you're not concerned.
Not that you know of.
And you're not concerned when you see the reports coming out, like the one in the papers yesterday. So they interviewed a trader. The trader said that he uses tap water to make these ice cream potong, that sort of thing. Do those sort of reports raise the alarm bells for you?
I ate a lot of these ice cream potong when I was young.
and you turned out just fine.
That's what I thought. So actually, it does not concern me that much.
Even though Malaysia has like the highest number of obese people in Southeast Asia, isn't that quite a problem as well at the moment? These habits kind of form from a young age anyway.
Yeah, maybe that's why I always have a weight problem. So,
all right.
Yeah, I know. I now know the cause of it.
Thank you very much, Victor, for your call. Chime in at 03-771-09000. Our next caller is Faisal. Faisal, what do you think? Where should healthy eating begin, at school or at home?
Well, in my opinion, healthy eating should be starting at home, because if we look at overall, because even it's like the daily groceries, a lot of parents are feeding their kids just like a lot of processed foods. Like, for example, breakfast. How many parents actually cook a whole meal for breakfast rather than just feed them a quick processed food like hot dogs, nuggets? Those are the things like you kind of train them like to add a crave for all these addictive chemicals and all of this processed food. And then it's like even after school, it's like they are too lazy or too busy, and end up they'll just let's go to McDonald's or just buy fast food. So it's pretty much just like it's a whole process. So you can't just expect outside of the school you cannot sell junk food. You need to start from home and kind of have to have a more holistic view of how to educate in terms of healthy living.
So Faisal, how was it like for you at home? How was your diet at home like? Did your parents cook, or are you cooking now to, you know, manage how much salt, how much sugar goes into your food?
Well, for me, I'm pretty much it's kind of 50-50. There are days that I buy out and there are days that I cook. But like I said, it's like in terms of like when I kind of view when I growing up, it's like there are days you have processed food like the quick nuggets, the hot dogs for breakfast. That there are days it's like where I had kind of like mee goreng or
You allow yourself lazy days, I suppose. Yes. Yeah.
But it's like with parents nowadays, it's like, it seems like everything is a quick. It's like they're blaming a lot of on the outside rather than themselves.
Mm.
In my opinion, it's like even it's like, let's say we are concerned like, with obesity and everything. But if we look at a lot of parents, they're too lazy to actually bring their kids out to the park and play rather than say, okay, here, the iPad play something on the game. So like, here's just like
They need more exercise more than anything else and get away from that couch. I guess
it's easier to call Food Panda or something.
Thank you very much for your call, Faisal. We're gonna move on to our next caller, Michelle. Now, Michelle, I understand that you actually got diabetes because of unhealthy foods.
Yes, I think I've played very heftily. I started schooling when I was back in the 80s. Yeah. And I went to school in Ayapanas, and this is uncle who sells this lime juice with, high content of sugar. But then again, it's scorching heat, getting out of school. That's the first thing that you buy for 15 cents and 10 cents. And something was so yummy. And I didn't realize, you know, my sisters and I will actually queue for hours just to get a handful of a packet drink. And then, you know, I think I suppose in my early 20s, and I really suffer from diabetes now.
Did you have that sugar habit? Did that continue on? Were you still eating very sugary things?
I suppose it continued, right? Never stopped, right? You didn't realize. And at that point, perhaps lack of information, lack of knowledge, and, you know, you just continue consumption and whatever that makes you happy. And that's how it is, you know. And I think these days, and it's really very scary, and when I go to fetch my son from school, they sell this, soda drinks, which has really been, you know, open for some time, and it's purely just sugary content. It doesn't even have the fizz anymore, you know?
And how, Michelle, do you educate your son then? I mean, do you make it an effort to actually perhaps pack lunches or teach him about it? What do you do?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Saran, my son, refuses to, take money from me and to buy food from the canteen for whatever reason. So I do in a lot of effort. We go to the restaurant before he goes to school to pack his food or, you know, something, or give him a full breakfast at home. Right. And so he doesn't have to rely on canteen food. I was one of the other callers that, you know, I've also been to the canteen to taste the quality of the food. And sometimes, you can't blame them for the cost that they have to manage. But I think some schools are doing better.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Michelle. And certainly that's one parent who just, you know, goes the extra mile to make sure that her kid doesn't go through the same thing she did.
Yeah, I mean, she's had first-hand experience of that particular situation.
To her detriment.
Yeah, and when you're a young kid and, as you mentioned, you fall into these scenarios where it's scorching hot, that it's readily available, and
it tastes good.
It tastes good.
You can afford it.
You can afford it. Mm. Yeah, that's what happens. We've got our next caller who might have a solution to some of these vendors who are parking themselves outside of the schools. It's Monto. Hi there.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're very good. I love the enthusiasm.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
What's your solution to this?
Oh, that's lovely. Very nice to know. Okay, so that's the situation on the road. What about your tummy? Are you concerned about healthy diets?
Well, I let my kids eat what they want to eat, but no, because I do that, they don't really crave for it. But I just have a thought, you see. Now, if we are having junk food selling in the canteen, why are we giving license to companies to produce junk food? Why are we killing ourselves then?
I suppose that's a little bit of a point there. If you can sell it openly in the shop. But one would imagine when it comes to children that the parents have a little bit of control over what it is they buy when they're outside.
I don't control. I let them eat. Because I want to take the mystery of junk food away from them.
And has it worked? Has it worked? So you let them eat whatever it is they want. Has it worked? Have they turned to steamed vegetables?
No, they eat vegetables. That's no problem. Mm-hmm. They don't buy junk food in school as far as I think I know.
As far as you think you know.
And you're actually right? Because if you ban something, then they kind of just want to... take it because, you know, the forbidden fruit tastes the sweetest or something.
That's true. And I imagine that that's what the case. I mean, you're messing around a little bit with that one because it could go either way. They could either just be so enthralled with it, they keep on wanting more, or, you know, they're just not bothered.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Monto. Folks, we're asking you, do you know what your kids are eating at school? Do you know what they're doing and what they're buying and eating outside of school grounds? And of course, we're talking about kids' diets and whether their consumption of junk food is getting out of control. We heard that from one of our callers to her detriment and her own experience. We'd love to hear from you at 03-77-109-1000, text us at 016-201-9000, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this on Talkback BFM 89.9.
03-77-109-1000 to Talkback BFM 89.9.
Let's talk back with Caroline, Kelvin, and Ezra. We're asking you whether you know about what your kid is eating at school. Are you happy with that? Are you unhappy with perhaps an unhealthy diet? Is their consumption of junk food getting out of control? Call us at 03-77-109-1000. Text us at 016-201-9000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Our next caller is Maria. Hi there.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. I think as a parent nowadays, I think parents are over worried about kids eating junk food. I think the education of junk food, eating healthy food, starts at home. And as a mom, I cook at home for breakfast and also for dinner. I give pocket money for my son and daughter for them to, you know, spend freely at school. But normally when I go to school, I saw what the canteens are selling. They are selling, you know, nice laksa. It's even, you know, inviting me to eat there. Nice mee curry, nasi lemak, nasi goreng, and nasi a bit of lauk and all. I think it's okay for them to spend sometimes junk food on themselves, like once a week or, you know, 2 weeks once. I think it's okay.
And do you actually monitor? Are you actually, you know, asking your kids, do you do this once a week, do you eat it twice a week, to just keep an eye on where things are?
Sometimes I did, sometimes no. Because I think the discipline starts at home. Because my mother was a teacher, and every day, I know, you know, when she go to school, I went to the school same as, you know, the school that she worked for. And she actually put her eye on us. So that's the thing that I inherit to my children. And so far, I think it's good. It's just that some of us is just overweight. I mean, kids, you need to give them also a bit of freedom for them to enjoy junk food as we are.
As we all did. Yeah, thank you very much for your call and comment, Maria. Our next caller is Sam. And Sam, I understand that you feel that perhaps the Health and Education Ministry might need to weigh in on this on some level. What's your solution? Sam?
Oh, hi. Sorry, guys. Yeah, that's what I was basically trying to put across. You see, we know this children of ours go to school and they are basically unattended at the canteen, and they basically eat whatever they like or whatever their tongue might lead them to. Now, basically what I was trying to put across is if we could centralize the food for these children in by district or by state or whichever it may be, because I think we are fine that we can handle that. The education ministry can handle that. The health ministry can handle that. If we can have a centralized location to produce healthy, nutritious food where it can be monitored, closely and redistribute it to the schools and to be taught to sell to the children. And I think that may solve this problem. It may not. I do not know. I'm just putting across
an idea. What difference would it make whether or not it's a centralized kitchen, Sam? Why can't this be implemented in individual schools?
It's not going to work. I mean, it's 4 years. I mean, I've been eating the same junk food that I saw when I was like 7 years old and still in the market. It's still sold in the school. It never worked. It's not going to work. We need to produce, we need to centralize this so we can monitor. If the health ministry and the government or the education ministry decides that they can actually do this, a lot of restaurants do this. I'm sure that all the across the mama food that we eat every day is centralized. They can have 20 branches and the food is cooked in one place and redistributed. If they can do it, we can do it because we have better roads, better transportation systems, so we can actually do this. It's not. It may sound a little bit out of the box, but it may work.
But how
it may solve the problem.
But how easy do you think it is to change a child's habit to eat? Right? So they may the food may be served to them.
Yeah.
But then they can just throw
it. It starts from home. It has to start from school. The teachers have to be re-educated. The children need to be seen to be eating healthy food. They be taught to be eating healthy food. I mean, most of the children spend a lot of time with, I mean, they see their teachers more than they see their parents. Parents go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, come back at 8 o'clock at night. They spend probably an hour, but they spend 6 hours, 7 hours with their teachers. So if that can be inculcated into the teachers and say, okay, eating vegetables, eating right food or different type of foods that can help them grow, don't you think that might help?
Absolutely. And, you know, it sounds like a whole ecosystem change, very ideal scenario there. But I just don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just jaded. I don't feel that that's realistic.
Caroline, jaded. What?
All right.
Now, Sam, thank you very much for your calling suggestion about basically centralizing, the kitchens when it comes to how the food has been distributed to all the schools, whether by district, whether by state. Thank you very much for your call, Sam. Moving on to our next caller. But before that, the number to call us is 03-77-109-thousand. We're asking you whether you're concerned about your child's diet, whether you know what your kid is eating at school, and whether you're indulging them having a snack or some sort of junk food outside their school grounds. Is it a detriment to their diet? Call us at 03-77-109-thousand. Tweet us at BFM Radio and text us at 016-201-9000.
Very quickly, a message that came in. Kevin Lim says, I absolutely super heart super rings even today. So yummy. So that one goes out to Kelvin, I imagine. That was one of your favorite things. This one saying, feels weird to be treating junk food like drugs. Once eaten, all is lost. On the other hand, an improvement in the quality and hygiene of said food would be great. This one saying, my 7-year-old's lunch is 50 ringgit a month, arranged by the school. It's a balanced meal. But during recess, there's lots of nuggets, sausages, crabs, sticks, etc. And she likes chocolate malt drinks. So that's from Aimee. Obviously knows what the kid is consuming in school. Shuib says, come on, Ezra, it's Torah, not Toro.
Oh, it is Torah. Okay. Yeah, that's right. It is Torah. Okay. Thank you very much for correcting me. I, for some reason, thought of a Japanese plane or something. But
okay.
Moving on to our next caller, Christy is on the line. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
Hi, tell us what you think.
Hi. I think it all starts at home. Mm-hmm. Kids should, I think we should train the kids' taste buds since they are young. I don't have kids of my own, but I see the way my parents and my uncle brought us up and brought their children up.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was, my mom actually don't have much sugar at home when we were growing up, but she pretty much let us eat everything that we could buy outside. But we practice moderate sweetness and salty food at home. And so it actually influenced my taste up as I was growing up. I tend to shun away from sweet stuff, salty stuff. Right up until now.
Mm.
And the way my uncle trained his daughter is he actually banned sweet stuff and sugary foods at home. So when his child actually grows up, she actually dislikes sweet stuff. So I think it should be trained when they were young, because the taste bud, if you train the taste bud since they are young, as they age, they would be likely to, it would stick, the taste bud you still stick with them as they grow older.
A matter of training, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I can definitely see that. Thank you very much for your call, Christy. I think it's, why kids are attracted to junk food, I think the reason's obvious, but it's also maybe training them. And I don't know, I'm trying to think of maybe offering them better options and more yummier options. And then the junk food option, I guess, goes lower down on your priority scale, but it doesn't work that way when you're a kid.
Yeah, because there are fewer things that are as exciting and colorful as candy floss and the hard
Caesar salad
sticks.
It just doesn't excite a kid.
No.
Right. Sashi is on the line. Sashi, what do you think about kids and their food consumption?
Hi. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Just digressing a little bit. Do you three know what a pleasure it is to have a radio station like BFM where you all discuss intelligent topics like this? It's such a treat for the mind.
Well, thank you very much, Sashi, for that. And we're trying to sort of ascertain as to, this particular topic because, we see these numbers, we see how Malaysia is the fattest nation in the region. Do you have any thought as to, what sort of diet that kids should have?
Well, not so much on the diet, but I believe the solution to the problem is quite a simple one. It all comes down to mindset. As the earlier caller, Sam, he was mentioning how kids spend so much time with the teachers. I believe teachers are the key to solving this problem, simply because you are a working parent, you have no time to get home and prepare a meal for your kids. But a teacher is supervising your children at all times. And why I'm saying the teacher is a good position to take care of the kids is because there is already a country which is practicing this system very successfully, if I may add. And that country is Japan. I'm not sure whether you all saw the video that was circulating a couple of months back where they videotaped the canteen in a Japanese school from the moment they start preparing the food, where they bring in the fresh ingredients from the market, cut it up, and then the teacher leads the children from the classroom during recess. They go down to the canteen, thank the cooks, pick up buckets of all their various meals, bring it back to their classroom, and they share it out among themselves. And oh, by the way, Japanese, they have this culture where all children who go to school carry a set of utensils and a Tupperware, so that they can eat this meal that is cooked in the canteen.
But Sashi, how much of this do you think can be implemented? Because if I think teachers here are already over-encumbered with all the admin work and all the teaching materials that they have to prepare for the day.
No, you're right. I was thinking the same thing because, like you said, right, working parents don't have time to prep a healthy meal. But teachers, a lot of the time, they're also working individuals with 30, 40 children under their belt. So is it fair to push that responsibility onto them when parents themselves can't do it?
And teachers are sometimes also parents themselves,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Exactly. Who would you rather be in charge of your kids than a fellow parent, and you know for a fact that they are taking care of your child 6 to 7 hours a day? And by the way, the system in Japan doesn't involve the teachers actually preparing the food. It merely is during recess, the teachers lead the children down to a canteen, which means the schools themselves should have built-in kitchens which produce this clean and healthy food. And I think we spend a lot of money on useless projects in Malaysia. I think a big chunk could and should be diverted to this kind of important projects instead of, inverted comma, all the various scandals going on out there.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sashi, folks, we're asking you whether you're concerned about your child's diet. You can text us 016-201-9000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Very quickly, Caroline, what do we have?
Lucas says, I think educating both the child and junk food manufacturers would be the best solution. Forbidding your child to have junk food would not work, but make them understand how unhealthy it is to their body. As for the manufacturer, they should understand how some ingredients may harm the body. So do not use them, or health ministry can ban the use of these ingredients. So I suppose that's sort of a suggestion where everybody can work together. Borhan saying, this is a rich kid's problem. I was poor. I never had this problem. Someone else suggesting that we should replace the food in school canteens with Japanese and Korean food, and the problem will be solved.
All right. Now we're headed
to bibimbap in canteens.
Oh, yeah.
You can call us at 03-771-09000. We're headed towards 7 o'clock news, where Azim Balkis will bring you an update. But first, a quick message from our sponsors. It's BFM 89.9.
It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation. Talk back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, folks. It's Talk Back with Caroline, Kelvin and Ezra. And we're asking you whether you know what kind of foods your kids are eating at school. Are you doing anything proactive in terms of changing their diet of junk food? Is that concerning to you? If you have any thoughts on this, or if you have any experience with it as well, call us at 03-771-09000. Text us at 016-201-9000. And tweet us at BFM Radio. And our next caller is Fadli. Fadli, tell us, what do you think? Where should the responsibility lie? Was it with the parents or with the teachers at school?
I think, first of all, Ezra, I just want to correct you. It wasn't Torah, it was Torah, actually.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You had me questioning my childhood and nostalgia.
Yeah,
but okay.
It's more like the sushi. But anyways, yeah.
We're fine.
I thought that I think it begins, since we're talking about school, it begins in the classroom itself. Maybe we could have like some like a food subject or something, like a healthy food subject, so that at least the kids are well prepared of the you know, what the junk food are made of and how they can affect their health and their bodies and stuff.
What's the closest in terms of learning about food in schools that we have? Is it through science, I imagine?
Yeah. I think I've learned something. There's one subject called Alam dan Manusia, but I'm not sure how the significant effect it had on me, but maybe we can have that kind of subject, but focus more on like bodies and healthy foods and stuff, and maybe. Yeah.
No, I think you are right. Because when you think about how it's approached, say, in science class, they tell you, you know, what proteins are, what carbohydrates are, but there's no direct relation to how it affects your body. And I suppose that would be very useful for a child to understand, well, for anyone to understand, really.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And I think it should be starting from the classroom, because for us, it's already too late, because we already know that Torahs are delicious, supering are delicious. Nobody told us that, oh, what it can do to your body, and eventually you can get obese and that stuff. Yeah, that's my take on it.
Thank you very much, Fadli, and go enjoy that Torah. 03-771-09000. We're asking you whether you're concerned about your child's diet. Iris is on the line. Hi, Iris.
Hi, Ezra.
Tell us what you think. You know, do we need more education in classrooms?
I was obese as a child, and I used to love Torah and Super Ring and all those stuff with chicken balls and everything. And to me, I think the government has to do something to subsidize the canteen so that they can get healthy food, because it's generally known that the healthy foods are more expensive than the cheap processed food.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that they play a part as well.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. We have someone who sent in a message who agrees with you, saying the government should subsidize food served at the canteen so that healthy food can be served. Also, a note on the infrastructure and how that should be upgraded, clean and safe.
And I think I think it's a long-term investment for governments as well, right? Because if, let's say, this continues on, we're already the most obese nation in Malaysia, in Southeast Asia.
That's right.
It'll bring down the public healthcare system, because that's where they're going to go to, right?
Yep, for sure.
03-771-09000. We've got Indra on the line. Hi, Indra.
Hi. Hi, Ezra. Hi, Caroline. Thank you so much for having this show.
You're welcome.
I'm a teacher, okay?
Yep.
And I kind of disagree with what Sashi said just now, where the teachers should be responsible for the students' health and diet.
Okay, Indra, tell us why.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. The students are taught in school, whether primary school, secondary school, they've got them set that subject called Alam Sakita or something to that effect, where they know what is good for them to eat. in secondary school, they study biology, so they know what, again, good and nutritious for them.
But Indra, if I may interrupt, because I remember these classes in school, I didn't find it. I mean, sure, there was information in those classes and in those books, but it didn't really stick with me because it was just taught in a very boring manner.
I would say it was as helpful as, you know, the Tak Nak campaign against smoking. They just tell you it's not healthy, but you just go out and do it anyway.
I see. But anyway, I would totally not agree with the fact that do you know that during my lunchtime, very often, I'm checking my emails, I'm replying my emails, I'm vetting exam papers, or I'm meeting with students who have doubts. And when I do go for lunch with colleagues, I'd rather go with colleagues rather than have lunch with my students, because I need a break.
Yes, fair enough.
And you know, teachers also have got extracurricular activities to look into as well. So that also comes into my free period. So I don't want to have that extra load of taking care of the health of the children. I would think that either the children read up themselves, because they should be interested in their own health. And I find a lot of teenagers these days, they do read up on their own. Or their parents must teach them. Or now, I mean, look at it this way. In the city, everything is on social media. The students are so fast with Googling this, that, and the other, faster than me. And I'm sure they can find out what's good for them and not good for them. And
it's not sexy, Indra. Nobody wants to Google it because nobody wants... It's not sexy information.
But Indra, let me ask you, Indra. I mean, if you're looking at your students and your kids, do you feel that, you know, anybody in the classroom, what's the level of concern that you're willing to participate in wanting them to have a healthier diet? To what degree are you willing to work with?
No, I'm not willing to work at all. Zero.
Just you're overworked, you're overburdened, you're having none of it.
It's not your responsibility.
Yeah, my workload is enough.
All right. Very nice. Thank you very much for that, Indra. We're going to move on to our next caller. Zaki is on the line. Hi, Zaki.
Hi.
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 Yes.
I just want to share some experiences. We are on a very interesting topic. So I do have kids in secondary or primary school. They are in the kindergarten. So probably it is quite slightly easier to manage. I remember when we first started sending our kids to kindergarten, so whenever there's birthday parties, right? So I think all parents with young kids, they get very excited. So they start giving, preparing gifts, goodie bags, you know? And that's how all the junk food got to the school. And eventually, we as parents, we talked to the school and we decided that no more junk food in the kindergarten. So I think it's a collective responsibility, not just on the teacher, but it's also on the parents, that they have to make sure they know what the kids are eating.
Are you totally against junk food, or do you still treat your kids now and then with junk food?
I know sometimes you treat them, but you have to make sure. Yeah, because I'm quite liberal in my opinions. I always give choices to my children, what shoes they want to wear, what slippers they want to wear, what kind of clothes they want to wear. And similarly with junk food, they have to know what they want to eat and what the consequences are.
So Zaki, here's an interesting thing, because I think my parents took a similar approach that you've taken, and what I did as a kid was manipulate the system and have as much Pringles as possible on a Saturday night as I was watching Lion King. And I knew that they had enough trust in me that I could manipulate the system and have as much junk food as I could. And I think that's why you just can't trust kids, can you?
Oh, dear. Oh, that's a topic for another day.
It never came to me in that sense. But somehow my kids are aware of, like, healthy food, unhealthy food, and they take those junk food in moderation.
In moderation. Yeah. Right. Good kids.
Sometimes they go slightly overboard, but...
They're not as resigned.
But they have not... You know, bend the rules, especially, you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think you're a good parent.
And you know what? I think it's rather interesting because he said you let your kids indulge a little bit in a treat. And that's where the distinction is important, isn't it? Because we're looking at junk food as a treat.
Yeah. when it really shouldn't be encouraged more than anything else.
Right.
But you know, some nutritionists kind of say that there is no good food or bad food, just good or bad diets.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should really treat food as a kind of enemy, but how do we have it in moderation?
Well, Calvin, you put that on a bumper sticker.
Food is an enemy. Well, I certainly don't. There's this one saying, from the canteen operator's point of view, what constitutes ideal food? So, you know, that obviously in line with what you're saying, he says people complain about all types of food. Shazen says canteen operators should have meal subscription options. So healthy meals for kids so that parents can subscribe at a slight premium. Now, I don't know. With that one, I can see problems happening already. Does this mean that, you know, if your parents can afford it, if you're lucky enough to come from a family that can afford it, therefore you can have healthy food? What about the kids who can't? Another one saying parents should be responsible for teaching kids to avoid the vendors at the gate. And one that agrees with Indra, who called in a little earlier, saying, I greatly disagree with the caller who stated that the responsibility should solely go to teachers. Teachers are not babysitters, they're educators. They have sometimes more than 30 students in one class, responsible for more than one class. Japan is one of the healthiest nations in the world because their food culture is generally healthy.
Yeah, right. We heard earlier from William Hui. He's the president of the Association of School Canteen Operators of Malaysia. And speaking to Mira Sivasodhi about why it's important to educate not only students, but also teachers and especially parents.
Let me educate the children, parents, headmaster, teachers, because they are not physicists, they are not nutritionists.
Yes.
When I talk about Rotterdam, William Bruce, and then they say, Toto, William, what are you talking about? So when I show the product, and I demo, educate them, then they know, oh, this is wrong. So when I do the show, sometimes I ask them about this carbonated drinks, contain what, they also unaware. So if a parent don't understand, so how can the children understand? Okay, school canteen don't sell. Outside are selling, the parents are buying for them.
Yes.
So then Malaysia boleh concept also another problem. Semua boleh lah, boleh lah.
That was William Hui, president of the Association of School Canteen Operators of Malaysia. Speaking of how it's not just about the kids, it's about the parents, it's about the teachers as well. Let's hear from Lim. And Lim, do you think that there's enough happening in schools when it comes to learning about nutrition, I guess? Lim, are you there? I guess I'm talking to myself. Terrific.
No, you're not.
Moving on, Lim, try call us back at 03-771-09000. We'll push you to the top of the queue. Prem, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, guys.
Tell us what do you think about kids and their nutrition?
In my opinion, I think we should have a nutritionist station at schools. And
a nutritionist station at school is what you said?
Station at schools, yeah.
Okay. So
what happens is because I don't think that every kid has a problem with junk food, right? So what happens, I think we can target certain students or certain group of students who have issues, and what this nutritionist does is that they offer a bit more advice, work closely with the parents, and, prescribe the right diet and on some of these things.
I don't know. I can imagine this going very wrongly, as in, discriminatory practices. Someone looks as though they enjoy junk food, and then teachers picking on them, picking them out wrongly, and then giving advice, and then, all the peer pressure that comes. Like, I don't know.
No, not really. I think there's always a basis of why we should get the help of a nutritionist, right? I mean, sometimes you go to a nutritionist, it's a bit too late. We are a bit oversized or, obese, and that's when you try to look at
nutritionist. Yep.
And, so I think we should start them young, and food is an integral part of kids growing up, right? So why don't we start them young, and kids who really need it. And, we have all these sports activities and all that, so probably you got to cater them slightly different rather than everybody goes to the field and run. Maybe you should. Depends on the kid itself. We prescribe different things based on the diet. Exercise is the other one, comes in handy.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Moving on to our next caller, Ashton is online. Ashton, tell us, what do you think kids can do to stop eating junk food?
So the main reason why kids actually eat junk food from a young age is because they're actually given the opportunity to buy junk food outside school, after school, right? So we must totally ban any school doors or school gates from having, sellers selling food outside. Twisties, we have ice cream, the cheap ice cream, chocos and all of that. We must ban them from actually selling anywhere near the school.
Well, there is legislation there that is in place, not necessarily enforced.
Yes, that's right. And when we come, I just heard the canteen guy talking, he was blaming it on parents and on Malaysia Boleh and all. There are many people who don't want to eat canteen food because it actually tastes bad. for most public schools. Not generalizing it, but it does happen. So people resort to having junk food or, you know, quick snacks, twisties and whatnot. And these things actually start at a young age, and people just keep on doing it until they're old. And then the problems come in, and then, you know, we've gone past that stage, you know, where we get all our health problems.
But don't you think the role of parents is very important? You know, if parents are also consuming, say, potato chips, then they will influence the kids to eat the same thing too.
Yes. Sometimes, like, parents, they know what's bad for them. They don't let their kids smoke, but then they let their kids do other things like eating junk food, you know. There are many parents who don't allow their kids to smoke, but they are smoking themselves, right?
All right, thank you very much for your call. And we're moving on to our next caller. Hilmi is on the line. Hi, Hilmi.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
We're good, thanks. Tell us what you think about kids and junk food.
Well, I think that everything should start from home. Because whatever is prepared at home, that will develop how the palate of the child will be. So the parents are providing very easy solutions like nuggets. Those are very easy to prepare, and those are the ones that the children will be liking all the time. So for me, definitely from when I was growing up is very much different to how I treat my children. Fortunately, we did not have much access to fast food when I was growing up. It's always a treat when you were to go to A&W back then, or KFC's. McDonald's were very fun, very few back then. However, with my kids, for one thing, I do not we do give them some pocket money, but we do not. We always prepare packed lunch or packed food for them every single day. So I think that's one way that you can actually try and curve it. And the other thing is, whatever money that we give them for school, and we tend to keep it for their savings. And so some people might say it's cruel.
And Hilmi, I think you've raised an interesting point about food that's packed from home. And I used to love it. I wouldn't have it every day, but on the occasion that there was, I actually had a better meal and almost a fuller meal as well that would last me through the number of hours of the day in which I was at school. And I would have a little bit more energy than just relying on whatever that was available at the canteen.
Yes, because I don't really trust how food I prepared. I know I was at school back then, and I know how bad things can be anyway.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Hilmi.
Okay, going to read out a couple of messages that have come in via text and tweet. This one saying, if you don't have time for children, don't have them. Don't push the responsibility to teachers and the government.
Ho-ho! Yeah.
Harsh. This one saying, healthy eating doesn't mean organic. Less salt, less oil, less sugar will do. That's not expensive to maintain. Chiral saying, healthy food should start at home, regardless of family background. Make bento for your kids. Another one saying, eating junk food for your kids.
Yeah, bento lunchbox.
Yep, very nice. This one's saying, eating junk food is fine, overeating is not. Salim says, why the fuss about junk food? Children will grow out of it. Joshua says, it's sad that we can't even let children grow to learn what food to eat, but parents have to decide for them right now. Another one saying, sadly, our culture is all about what others can do. Teachers can teach, governments can subsidize, and subjects can be added. But apparently, parents are too busy and cannot do anything. Another suggestion saying, encouraging sharing will also help reduce portions per kid. And Miss Diamond says, BFM Radio, this is the first time I'm seeing people snapping on air. Please calm down. So yeah, it's about dinner time. Do calm down, guys.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I think when it comes to the responses and the variety that we've heard, there are a portion of folks who are happy to take on that responsibility about what their kids are eating. There are folks who are kind of, you know, pushing it back to the kids and giving them the freedom to make up their own minds and have their own choices to that.
But I think at the same time, you know, it's always about time. For teachers, it's they're over-encumbered at the moment, but it's also kind of their, in a way, it's kind of their responsibility.
It's their space, right? But,
yeah.
But we appreciate the circumstance in which a lot of these teachers are already so overburdened.
They're struggling.
With the responsibilities. Folks, thank you very much for all your calls, texts, and tweets on tonight's topic. If you missed any part of the conversation, you can download the podcast by heading to our website, bfm.my. Caroline, Kelvin, and Ezra signing out for the evening. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.